track 11, and our feature item appeared in the Daily Telegraph on the 20th of July, and we apologise if we're falling foul of copyright issues, but we felt that we had to share this with you, as Peter is also the president of the Talking News Federation. Here, Peter White, the blind host of BBC's In Touch programme, talks to Lucy Denver about 50 years of BBC radio, his kamikaze childhood, and why he refuses to mince his words. The article is going to be read for you by Lorna and Sally.
Peter White and I are discussing the books he is currently reading. As ever, he says he has several on the go. A crime novel by the Norwegian writer Anne Holt, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte, Rory Stewart's latest tome, Politics on the Edge, and it is the week before England's heartbreaking ending to the Euros, Flatback 4, a book about football tactics in the 1990s by the former Scotland striker Andy Gray. I'm a great starter of books, he admits with a laugh. He does not, however, approve of not finishing a book. Perhaps because even to have had the choice to do so would, 50 years ago, have been unthinkable for someone like him. Back then, he says, there was only a tiny amount of stuff to read, which was in Braille. What's more, you also had to wait for the RNIB to decide what they deemed was a suitable book for you. Now, thanks to technology that can quickly scan a book in print and turn it into Braille, I can do what most people have been able to do since the 15th century and the existence of the Gutenberg press, which is read any book. It is both extraordinary and ordinary to consider how far things have come for those like White who are born without sight. But then White himself is also both extraordinary and ordinary. On the one hand, he is a man whose life is much like anyone else's, working, spending time with his family, travelling, reading, going to the supermarket, and whose familiar voice is often to be heard when one switches on Radio 4, where he started presenting In Touch, the programme for visually impaired listeners, in 1974. On the other hand, this is a man who, when he was born as the second blind son to his parents in 1947, had an unknown future ahead of him. "My parents thought we would struggle as adults," he says. "They couldn't imagine us getting married and having kids and doing a job." That both White and his elder brother Colin, who suffers from the same genetic condition where the optic nerve did not develop properly, should not only be happily married with children, but both have been awarded MBEs. White for services to broadcasting, Colin for his work as a physiotherapist, is again both ordinary and extraordinary. Both are excellent at what they do. Both have come further than anyone might have thought back in the 1940s. Now, White is looking back at not just how reading has become easier, but assessing what else has, with a new documentary, 50-50 Vision, reviews his 5 decades on the BBC through technology from his early days at the corporation up to now, judging how his life has been improved or hindered by breakthroughs and products designed to make life supposedly easier for everyone, from ATMs to touchscreens, book readers to smart TVs. Book readers, yes. AI, he's not sure yet, and is sceptical of the idea that it will prove a miracle cure for blindness. Of blind people trying to use a smartphone app for directions, I say, why don't you bloody well ask someone? It's so much quicker. It's a classic White comment, refreshingly blunt and delivered with a big grin. But, he adds, one of the reasons I think I've led quite a happy, relaxed, comfortable life is that I'm quite happy talking to people if I want help. The greatest skill you can acquire as a blind person is knowing how to get help and how to accept it gracefully and how to get rid of people when they've done what you need them to do. It is one of the reasons he has never had a guide dog and doesn't plan to unless they get me a guide dog that can read the British Rail Board. White's preferred mode of getting around is largely unaided, asking for help when it's needed. He dislikes being grabbed and manoeuvred into position, but he also can't bear it when people are overly apologetic or careful about his blindness, or when they contort themselves into knots about using the right sort of language. Last year, for example, Lauren Laverne apologised for using the word cripple when interviewing White for Desert Island Discs, even though she was just quoting White himself. He had famously used the word in an interview with the American publisher Larry Flint, who was in a wheelchair.
My feelings about this are rather unfashionable now, he admits. I think you cannot, on the one hand, say that you don't like the way people react to blindness or disability, and on the other, monitor their use of language. It just makes people very nervous. And I want people to be relaxed around me. I don't want to be a language monitor, and I'm not offended by things people say. Mind you, he adds, if you work for the BBC, you have to bear those things in mind. I don't really want to. But I don't think there's any such thing as a wrong word. It's the intent that's important rather than the words that you use. This attitude does make White a supremely relaxing person to talk to. And during our hour or so together, we chat about all sorts of things, from his love of sport — he's a Southampton Football Club fan and a cricket aficionado who chose the 1962 edition of the Wisden Cricketer's Almanac as his Desert Island Discs book — to his friendship with Lord David Blunkett, who is blind for the same reason as White. I haven't always agreed with his politics, but I've become quite admiring of him, to the way in which radio has transformed his life and his loving kamikaze childhood. White was born in Winchester, his parents having been told that the chances of having another blind child were one in a million. His mother later aborted a third baby, for which White has said he admires her. He and Colin led a fairly robust sort of life, playing cricket, riding bikes, and being sent to the shops to get groceries. White went to a boarding school for blind children at the age of 5, then on to Worcester College for the Blind at 11, where boys slept 29 to a dormitory, roller skated, played football, and were forced out on unaccompanied walks every day. On one memorable occasion, White was hit by a lorry whilst crossing the road. "We got a lot of freedom," he says understatedly. "I think you need freedom in order to live your life in the broader sense." After school, he tried university. Twice, the first time reading law at Southampton, the second, social sciences at Kent. "But I was fed up with institutions. I wanted to get out and do a real job. And the only thing I really wanted to be in was radio. So I hitchhiked down to Southampton and doorstepped the BBC until they gave me a job. He has been there ever since. I don't approve of everything it does, of course, but it's still by far the most intelligent speech radio in Britain. And radio," he adds, "integrated me into society in a way that nothing else did." Blunkett said the same thing. Radio educated him, basically. So to have gone into speech radio is such a delight. "I don't really have any plans," he says, when I ask what might come next. "I've never had any, really. The only plan was not to do something I didn't want to." He dismisses the idea that there is ageism at the Beeb, or that he might be quietly shuffled off air. "While that might have happened in the past," he says, "that has now gone away. I wish somebody would sack me. It's the only way I'd be made to stop. There doesn't seem to be much chance of that. The day before we meet, he sends me a clip of him conducting a combative interview with the CEO of the RNIB over its finances. White is in full robust form, as ever, simultaneously advocating on behalf of blind people and not allowing them to be put in a special disability box. Where I have got an edge is interviewing disabled people, he says, because I don't care about upsetting them. It's delivered with a laugh, but you know he means it. Peter White is not going anywhere anytime soon. And the interview referred to in the interview was broadcast on Radio 4 on July 28th.